The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So many of you know that Nikki and I are working through the different Brahma Viharas a little bit systematically. I use that word loosely. But we were doing loving kindness, and now we're doing compassion. And Nikki started with compassion yesterday. And maybe all of you know that classically in the Buddhist teachings, that compassion comes after loving kindness. In this practice and in the discussion of these heart practices, the Brahma Viharas. And the reason why, one of the reasons why compassion comes after loving kindness is that when our loving kindness, when it's cultivated and developed and it expands and grows and it includes more and more beings, it's just natural that this loving kindness will encounter that some beings that are having difficulties, some beings that are suffering. And I'm using this word suffering in the generic sense that we often do in Buddhist teachings to mean the whole spectrum from just a little bit of annoyance to excruciating pain. I'm using this one word, suffering, to kind of like encapsulate or represent this whole range of experiences. So of course, when we are extending loving kindness to others, some of these others will be having some difficulties, will be having some suffering. And it's just natural that this loving intention will shift or expand to include a wish for their suffering to end, to include a wish that their any difficulties diminish and go away. And so in this way, that compassion is this combination of loving kindness plus a recognition of difficulties, plus a sincere wish that those difficulties end. So these three different elements. And Jill Shepherd, she's this wonderful Dharma teacher, she describes compassion as the love child between metta and dukkha. It's the what happens when loving kindness meets suffering, turns into compassion. So sometimes it's helpful to make a distinction that compassion is not the same thing as empathy. I think sometimes in our just regular speaking, there might be a conflation of these two different points, but in the Buddhist teachings and in the way that we're going to practice, they're not the same as empathy. So while compassion includes this recognizing the difficulties of others, it doesn't mean that we necessarily feel exactly what others feel. We recognize it, but we're not feeling the same suffering. So there's a way in which we can recognize, we can maybe resonate with, but because we have some this loving kindness and this steadiness and this groundedness, we don't get pulled into it and swept away. An example might be that if your partner comes home in a state, we'll just use that word in a state, because their boss was mean to them, and you might get indignant and exclaim angrily, "How could she have treated you that way?" Right? So that's not necessarily helpful, and nor is it compassion for us to have this big well up of emotion and to maybe, become indignant and raise our voice or something like this. Sure, it shows that we care, but it's not the same as compassion. We might consider that an alternative response would be to say to your partner when they come home and describe that their boss was mean to them, to say, I'm sorry you have to deal with such a person. What can I do for you? Would you like a cup of tea, or would you like to go for a walk? So there's this way in which we stay kind of grounded and centered with our heart open, caring, and doing what's supportive, but not getting swept away. And in this way, that we can, our compassion isn't something that drains us or doesn't make us feel resentful in any particular way or anything like this. It's this renewable resource there that it doesn't require us, our emotions, to get out of hand or to drain us in any kind of way. So maybe with that, it's just a really brief introduction to this idea of compassion. There's so much that we can say about this. And Nikki and I will continue to unfold different pieces about this as the days go on. But maybe I just want to emphasize that it's not exactly the same. Oh, I just realized my microphone wasn't plugged in. Maybe this is a little bit better. My apologies. This recognition that compassion requires that we recognize that we recognize suffering, difficulties, but not that we get swept away in it and that we start feeling the sadness, the anger, in the same way that the person that we have compassion for is feeling it. Okay, so let's do some compassion practice. So to take an alert, upright posture. Posture that includes some ease, some comfort, as well as honors our intention to practice meditation for this time. Allowing the mind to arrive this moment. Allowing the mind to arrive to this experience in the moment. Feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion. Feeling our posture. And we're oriented in space, so to speak. Are we upright or leaning forward, or maybe we're even horizontal? And to notice this body is breathing. There's the in-breath and out-breath. And allowing the awareness to just rest on the breath coming in and out. Right now, there's nowhere else to be. nothing else to do. We're just here, practicing, noticing the sensations of breathing. And can we notice with a warm-heartedness? With a kindness? Part of what we will notice is that the mind wanders. Can we meet that with warmth and kindness? Yes, this is what minds do. And then just very simply, gently, begin again the sensations of breathing. If we are ever doing compassion practice and it feels like we're sliding into feeling the suffering and feeling overwhelmed, we can always come back to this practice. Just noticing the sensations of breathing. You can stay here for as long as you like. Each of us goes at our own pace, and each day is different. So to begin our compassion practice, bring to mind a dear friend, somebody you know, somebody you have a relationship with, and that you care about. Allow yourself to feel this care that you have for them. Can bring an image of this person to mind. Maybe we'll start with some loving kindness. So, feeling the connection with this dear friend, dear person. And to support a sense of connection and kindness and goodwill, we can say loving kindness phrases. While keeping the dear friend in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing ourselves to drink up, so to speak, this care and warmth that we have for this dear friend. Appreciating them, appreciating the connection. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Maybe refreshing the image of this dear friend. And checking in with the body. Maybe there is a warm feeling in the chest and the heart center. Maybe there's sense of spaciousness or ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to support our compassion practice, cultivating, developing compassion. Maybe we know of some difficulty that our dear friend is having. Maybe not the largest difficulty. We don't start with the most difficult. We start where it's easy. So this friend, maybe they've had some disappointment or frustration. Maybe they feel more anxious these days of the pandemic. There's lots of reasons they might feel anxious, unsettled. And again, if even just bringing this to mind, you feel unsteady or it doesn't feel like the right time for you, it's perfectly fine. You can stay with loving kindness practice, or you can do some mindfulness practice, mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of breathing. Part of the art of practice is stretching ourselves a little and taking care of ourselves, respecting ourselves. So again, bringing to mind some difficulty, some suffering the friend has. Allow yourselves to connect with that feeling of, oh, I wish you didn't have that difficulty. The tenderness, the love, the care. And we can say these phrases. May your difficulties ease. May you experience peace. May your difficulties ease. May you experience peace. May your difficulties ease. May you experience peace. You can connect with the sincerity of wishing that they didn't have this difficulty. May your difficulties ease. May you experience peace. There can be a beauty in the tenderness of wishing someone's difficulties diminish, go away. While not getting lost in the pain. Staying connected to the love and the care, the kindness. May your difficulties ease. May you experience peace. If we find the mind wandering, sometimes it's easiest to connect back with the loving kindness we have for the friend. And then when we feel this connection, then we recognize some difficulties they might be having, ones we know about or ones that we can imagine. May your difficulties ease. May you experience peace. It might be that there's a sliding into, maybe you start to feel uncomfortable. I talked about we could do loving kindness, we could do mindfulness of breathing. We can also do compassion practice for ourselves. May my difficulties ease. May I experience peace. May my difficulties ease. May I experience peace. Then in these last few minutes, which seems like the right practice for you right now, which would be supportive, helpful, compassion for yourself, compassion for your friend, loving kindness, mindfulness. Can you feel into what would be helpful for you? And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of having a heart that's filled with care and goodwill, love, kindness, respect, and it meets suffering. And it's just like this natural shift to include, yes, may your suffering diminish, decrease, may your difficulties ease. May you have peace, may you experience peace. So it's not something that we have to make this painful transition or awkward transition. it's just kind of a flowing from this loving kindness meeting suffering. And then, of course, I'd like to just emphasize a little bit about, you know, it's easy sometimes for us to slide into when we encounter people's difficulties. Then we should then rather, Marie-Christine's putting in the box this idea of empathy fatigue rather than compassion fatigue. And I would agree 100% that in the classical Buddhist teachings, there's no such thing as compassion fatigue. But there is empathy fatigue, of course, when we feel ourselves getting caught up or having the difficulties of what we see. And, right, it's not easy. This is why we have to practice. This is why it is a practice, is to be able to keep our steadiness, keep our groundedness. And then we use part of why we practice is to have some facility to recognize, oh, you know, I'm sliding into overwhelm, or I'm sliding into where I'm starting to feel bad. And then to know how to take care of ourselves. Is it mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the breath? Maybe just to tap into the love and the care, or maybe it's compassion for ourselves. So these ways, so that we don't slide into some of these difficulties. And in this way, then we can offer compassion for more and more people if we can do it in a way that is, doesn't feel taxing and troubling for us. Okay, so now I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where you have an opportunity to explore what is this idea of maybe this distinction between compassion and empathy. Or compassion. I do like what Jill Shepherd said, this, it's the love child between metta and dukkha. It's when loving kindness meets suffering, as opposed to just being present when somebody is having some difficulties. So you can talk about that, this distinction between compassion and empathy, or you can talk about what that meditation experience was like for you in this guided meditation that we just did. Was it, did anything come up for you that was maybe a new recognition or a new idea, a new experience? Or did you find yourself having to flow back and forth between compassion and loving kindness? Or were you able to stay there? Or whatever your experience might be, including, like, I don't know, I slept through the whole thing. What are we talking about now? Right, not all of us are going to have the same experience and are going to arrive here and, you know, be into whatever's being offered here. So I just wanted to make room for whatever your experience might be. Okay, so you'll have 12 minutes and an opportunity to talk. And just to make sure that both the extroverts and the introverts get a chance to speak, let's do this now as the last digit in your house number. So if you live at, and we'll say that zero is less than one. So if you live at 100 Main Street, then the last digit would be zero, and you would go first. And if you live at 109 Main Street, the last digit is nine, and you would go last. And then there's no need to say everything that you know about this topic at the beginning. Just share a little bit and go around. And goes from one person to the next, and then to the next, and then to the next. And allow it to go around a second time. And then having heard from others. So this is not our usual conversation style. There's something artificial and contrived about it, but it's a way in which we can all share and discover and connect with maybe something that we wouldn't have discovered or connected with otherwise. Okay, so have fun. So welcome back. Would anybody like to say a comment or have a question or something that they'd like to share about what was it like to be in the small group or maybe there was some learning or some new ideas. Yes, Jamie.
Hi, Diana. It's Jamie, and the three of us in my group all seem to agree that empathy felt tied to compassion, because if we couldn't first empathize a little bit and understand the object of our practice's situation, it would be hard to really feel the compassion, or the opposite. If you felt a little empathy and you could kind of imagine what being in their shoes would be like, then the compassion flowed more easily. Is there such a thing as compassion without that? I mean, that seems like it would be a more demanding practice.
Yeah, I think part of it is like recognizing suffering. And how do we recognize suffering? Sometimes you're like, we can imagine if that were happening to me, I would be suffering. Or sometimes there's this resonance with some suffering in ourselves, and that's a little bit of this empathy. Yeah. But right, we can see where this is part of the art of practice, is to not let ourselves feel the sadness or the difficulty the person is having in such a way that then we are in the same place they are. Yeah. But thank you, Jamie. It's right. There's a reason why they often get confused or conflated, or because, you know, empathy's part of it. Maybe I'll say that. Thank you. And Abraham.
Thank you. That helped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My comment is more experiential, I think, but it's still that fluidity that you just discussed with Jamie, you know, the fluidity of really searching out what's going on. From my perspective, what I really like is, sometimes the compassion is really apparent, and then I notice that I'm becoming embroiled or something. Maybe it's moving because the mind moves all the time. And then just the fluidity of going back to self-compassion or to going to loving kindness, which is not as intense maybe sometimes. I really appreciate that kind of creative way of looking at what am I experiencing right now, and how can I work with it in a skillful way? I really like, between compassion, between metta, mindfulness, whichever is needful. So thanks.
Yes, thank you, Abraham. And it's astounding, right? Maybe we're doing compassion, and then it's just a few moments of mindfulness, of breathing. Maybe it's just a few breaths and then we come back. Or maybe it's just a few phrases of may you be happy and really connecting to that. Or maybe we stay with mindfulness of breathing or loving kindness for some time. So it's this kind of fluidity. It can be fast, it can be slow. It's different every time. So thank you. And Susan, I see that we're 1 minute past the hour, but Susan, you raised your hand earlier.
Thanks. Yeah. A few things. I'm always surprised that I'm surprised how much better I feel after groups. I wish the folks who skip out knew that. And I felt really supported by my group, and I appreciate them very much. And serendipity, when you were saying something about making room for all of our experiences kind of before the guidance, I was thinking that, right, those exact words, noticing how that was making me feel. And then you said it, which is always really cool when that happens.
So. Nice. Yes.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you. Yeah, I like what you said. You wish people knew, the ones that skip out, that they knew that, yes, I used to be one of those people too, like, oh no, I don't want to talk. But then I realized how nourishing, and it's just so great to connect and kind of like recognize that other people have similar experiences and share the wisdom. Great. Okay, it's a pleasure practicing with you all. And may all of your difficulties be diminished, be eased, and may you experience peace. And if we'd like, we can unmute ourselves, and I'm trying to find the reaction button. Here we go. It just makes me smile to see these little hearts. So bye-bye.
Thank you, Diana.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye,
everyone.
Bye.
Thank you so much,
Diana. Be well. Bye. See you soon.
Bye, Diana. Everyone, see you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.